doing anything that's like the blood moons or anything exotic like that, but we have looked at some signs in nature, and some of those signs people could dismiss like an act of God. We're also looking at signs in technology and things that you can readily identify. These things are happening in the world today, but there's a different sort of a sign that the scripture talks about that will be evident in the last days, and it really has to do with what you're seeing in the people. What's happening in society? So I used culture for lack of a better word. I didn't like that word, but it's kind of the mood of what's going on in the world with the people. And the scripture speaks to this. And, you know, we do see that times change. I'm only 52 years old. I don't have a full breadth of experience. But, like, I remember when I was young, and I still see programs like this every once in a while. I watch a program set in the 1950s. And I don't know if it was like this in the 50s. I wasn't alive. However, often what you see is this nice, beautiful paradigm. In the 50s, everything was so idyllic. You go driving down the street, there's a nice, pretty blue house and a pretty yellow house, and somebody's got a nice, pretty red car, and there's birds singing. And in the 50s, everything seemed delightful all the time. Said hello to your neighbor. Hello, neighbor. And in any story, anything that's set in our current time, everything's black. Everything's gray. Everybody's waiting to die. And, oh my goodness, what in the world has happened in our culture in such a short time? Is this the way things really are going? Anyways, let me open up the scripture to you to start from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. When he gives this prophetic outlook of what it'll be like in the hearts of the people come the last days. He says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. He talks about the people. People, they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Some of that you can expect, you know. And it's what an amazing thing to think about, even just throwing in there, disrespectful to your parents. It wasn't that long ago, a generation ago, and you would have never heard of such a thing. Disrespectful to your parent. And now, it's flagrant. I saw in the news this week about a flight from BC to Toronto that got canceled because they couldn't get their toddler to sit down in the chair. Canceled the whole flight. Everybody's flight ruined because a parent couldn't control their child. It's a different world. Verses 3 and 4, people will be without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lack of love. Romans chapter 1 describes a very similar picture, a very similar scenario. Romans chapter 1 talking about how that men give over, they exchange having a love for God for a love of things of creation, loves of things of this world. So in essence, they reject the truth. God says, here's the truth and here's what is good and blessed and beneficial for you, and people reject it, rejecting it for the sake of loving whatever they want. The end times says it will get even worse. Let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. It said they perish because they refuse to love the truth. And if they would just love the truth, they would be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, so they'll even believe the lie. This is talking about a society that's rejecting truth. You can probably judge for yourselves if we live in a society like that. How many scenarios, how many arenas of life where you can say that truth is being highly valued in our medicine and in our politics? Is truth being so highly valued? The result you get, 2 Timothy 3 said to us, boastful people, abusive, rash, and unforgiving. Now, Jesus gave an analogy about this, Luke chapter 17. This will be maybe a little more familiar to some of you. Luke chapter 17, Jesus gives kind of an analogous picture of the same thing to help us grasp what's going on. And he says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man, which means when he comes. Just like it was in the days of Noah. We need a few more scriptures there. It was the same as in the days of Lot. It'll be just like this on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. So Jesus is saying, when the end time comes near, it's going to be just like the days of Noah and just like the days of Lot. So he's trying to give us an image. He's trying to give us a picture of what that looks like. So if we go back into Genesis chapter 6 here, and we can see what the days of Noah were like. Genesis 6 is telling us, and we can sum it up very easily, verse 11 and verse 13. It says, the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and it was just full of violence. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So two things you can see specifically highlighted that are in the days of Noah. The people on the earth become corrupt, and part because of that corruption become violent. We turn on your evening news. The days of Lot, then we turn to Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 18 says, the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, this is where Lot was living, it's so great, their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and I'll see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. And if not, I will know. In chapter 19, he goes on further to talk about the conditions under Lot, verse 4 and 5. It says, Lot's living down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and this is what happened. Before his visitors had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both the young and the old, surrounded the house. And they called out to Lot, where are those men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us. And you know why? Sexual violence and perversion. You know that in America right now, one of the biggest businesses is human trafficking. Can you believe that? Big business. Big business. Riots, mass shootings, drug overdoses, STDs, abortion. These things are on the rise. Let me flip to Romans 1 like I was telling you about earlier. This is what he says is going to happen to man. Therefore, God gave them over to a sinful desire of their hearts, to sexual impurity, to the degrading of their own bodies with one another. Just as they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God has given them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. Given over. Now, I don't know if you're thinking this or not, but you may have noticed a lot of these descriptors are things that are going on out in the world, outside of the church. You say, well, this is going on out there in the world, and the world's getting bad. Praise God if it's not happening in the church. What does the scripture say might be happening inside? I'm going to show you a passage from Matthew 24. I think this passage is actually talking to Israel more than the church in particular, but I think the principle could probably apply. Jesus said that in the last times, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and they'll begin to betray and hate one another. Can you imagine being in a church like that? With brothers and sisters in Christ betraying and hating one another when the exact opposite is what is supposed to be most evident happening in the church of God. What is the mood going to be amongst the people according to the scriptures in the last days? Not very good. Unnecessary divisions, even amongst believers, over doctrines, like end times opinions. Let me show you this from 2 Peter. Even amongst believers, about opinions about the end times, there'll be division. 2 Peter 3 says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires, and they will say, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on just as it has since the beginning of creation. Scoffing. You know, the more and more that people lean towards scoffing and open themselves up to that, like, that's baloney what you're talking about, and I'm not listening to you. The more and more we open ourselves up to being critical of people in that way, to scoff at them, the more and more we're open to being critical and negative and contemptful towards people, hatred. Not to mention, we potentially start to open ourselves to conspiracies and lies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. Serve the lie. We live in a world of lies. You know how many people out there are believing in aliens? Because they've seen it in the movies. Evolution. Transgenderism. No offense. That's a lie. God made two genders. He didn't make any mistakes about that, that people are supposed to screw that up and switch that up. The world specializes in smoke and mirrors and all this kind of stuff. Scripture says, woe to those who take what is evil and call it good and take what is good and call it evil. And here's what we do. We're killing babies. And we make a nice little good title for it. We say, well, that's just pro-choice. We're just positive about all of this. Positive about killing those babies. This is the way our world works. End times mood outlook is a little bit gloomy. But not for all. I want to encourage you guys this morning. It does not need to be. If you're like me, if you watch the news and see anything that's going on in the world, it does not look very good. I'm not encouraged when I watch the news. But I want to encourage you, saints of Christ, today, you can spend some time in the news. Don't spend too much. Spend your time looking at the Lord and see what He's doing and see what He has to say. Because there's more to the story than just all the negativity and all the news, the bad gloom that's going on out there and all the lies. I want to show you the other side of some of the mood that should be there, present, in the end times. I'll start out by showing you a passage we looked at before from Daniel chapter 12. We did Daniel already. I just want to remind you of this text and highlight this real quick. He says, Daniel, seal up these words of the scroll until the time of the end. He had given Daniel prophetic information about the end times, and he said, seal this up. You're not even going to get this just yet. This isn't for now. And then after Jesus had finished his ministry on this earth, he had his disciple John on the island of Patmos, and he appeared to him in Revelation. And he has a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and scrolls are presented to him, and nobody can open them, just like Daniel had, and it can't be opened. And people even in heaven are almost weeping and moaning over this. And they said, don't, John, don't weep up over that. The Lamb of God, He has overcome. He'd open those scrolls. And He gives us in the book of Revelation all kinds of information that He expands on what Daniel had given to us. You know what? We live in a time now where God has said, I am present and my word is revealed and I spread my word around the world. Even to Nepal, even to Africa, even to Edmonton, if you can believe it. God's spreading His word around the world. It's time for people to turn to Jesus. The Word is circling the globe, and the Holy Spirit, since the time of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, is unleashed in such a unique way to convict and permeate the hearts and souls of minds and women, men and women, to be illuminated of the truth of God. If people will just turn to Jesus and to receive. Now, I want to show you something from Matthew that should be part of the mood of the church. And this is good news, especially if you'll take it. Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This is an end times prophecy. The gospel will be preached. The good news is going to go to the whole world, and then the end will come. You know, this is kind of an amazing thing for him to say 2,000 years ago, and I think about 30 years after Jesus died and the gospel had gone to almost all the Western world, into Europe and into North Africa, and within 100 years of Jesus' death, the gospel spread even into Asia, spread just about everywhere. It was doing really, really well. The last days that we live in are gospel days. And the saints of the Lord, even today, should be a part of that. We should get working and fulfill what the Lord has given for us to do. There have been some dark years since the Lord was here. There have been some dark years where it didn't seem like the gospel was having much impact and people weren't getting saved. But then, even in more recent generations, have we not seen men like Whitfield come along, or Wesley, Jonathan Edwards and the Great Awakening and the gospel powerfully spreading to thousands of people at a time. And then after that, men like Billy Graham spreading the gospel as far and wide as fast as he could. In the past 200 years, it has been known as the era of global missions. Hudson Taylor, Livingston, William Carey, C.T. Studd. These men, when nobody else was doing it and there wasn't very good travel anywhere on the planet, were going to deepest Asia, going to deepest Africa, going to deepest India, taking the gospel. And today we're learning how to spread the gospel globally, quickly. First, we did it with the radio, spread it around the world. Then TV, now we're doing it with the internet. It's amazing that you can go to some little tribe in the back bush, just about anywhere, and find somebody who doesn't have plumbing, but they've got a cell phone, and they can receive the gospel through satellite on their phone. And they do. They do. The gospel is reaching the whole world, and then he'll come. You know, it's amazing when I was thinking about this, because there's so much going on in this world. The scripture is telling us to the church, this is part of our mandate, church, saints, take the gospel, keep taking it, keep taking it. This is part of our way of preparing the way for the Messiah to come. Spread the gospel of the love and graciousness of our God through his son, Jesus Christ. And yet, there's over 1 billion Muslims in the world who believe the exact opposite. And from their writings, they believe they should be doing the exact opposite, going about the world, even killing infidels, so they can create chaos to bring back kind of their version of the Messiah. Incredible. Spread the gospel. Spread the good news of God's gracious love, and he will come. Is the world getting worse? Maybe. What's happening to the church? It doesn't matter what's happening in the rest of the world. The church ought to be getting better. You guys know that the light shines best. The deeper the darkness is, the better the light shines. And the better that it can permeate. Praise God for that. Christians ought to be getting better, more gracious, more spirit-filled, more eager to turn the other cheek, more zeal to love like Jesus has loved. You know, there's good news in this world. My wife and I have friends from China, and they tell us about the gospel spreading, where the communist government there is trying to imprison people and persecute people and stop the gospel at every opportunity they can, and yet the church is growing there. It's growing there. In the West, the church is on the wane. In Europe, they're turning churches into coffee houses and mosques. The church is beginning to die in the West, and if you look around, you see, oh my goodness, we're losing. Oh, God's not losing. He's shining his light in some of the darkest places in the world. I follow a fellow just a tiny little bit named Joel Rosenberg, and he says in the Middle East, Christians are on the rise. Not in any one particular country, but in the Middle East. He said in 1960, there were 200,000 Christians. 200,000. But by 2010, there were 10 million. All of these Muslim converts. 200,000 to 10 million. Just had a little epiphany there, 2010. To me, that feels like yesterday. And some of y'all weren't born. 2010. I'm getting old when I think 2010 was yesterday. It's part of our job. This is the claim from Scripture. Evangelize the world and Jesus will come. And the question is, let me show you this from 2 Peter chapter 3. Can we hasten the day of the Lord's return? Can we hasten the day? 2 Peter 3, since the end will go this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Whoa! Does the scripture just say there, Christian, and if you're living this way and you're witnessing to your friends and your neighbors and you're spreading the gospel and you're shining your light, that you can speed the day of the Lord's return? Wouldn't that be something? Let's put the question a different way. Can we hinder it? Can we hinder the day of the Lord from getting here? Or maybe even worse, can we just be idle and we don't hasten it one bit? I didn't do nothing wrong. I just didn't do nothing right neither. Church, this is our time. This is our time. This is a good time to spread the gospel. This is a good time to make the light of Jesus known. There's so many lies and darkness out there. You start bringing a little truth and a little bit of light, boy, you'll shine like nothing else. God's got a reason he hasn't come yet. Can I show you 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9? Just back it up, verse 9. Why isn't he here yet? The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's just patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. It's about 35 years ago, I came to the Lord, and I was saved. Had the Lord Jesus, in his impatience, come 36 years ago, oh no. I'm so glad he waited. I'm so glad he was patient and he waited for me. And I'm glad if he's patient and waits for my kids, my grandkids. Praise the Lord. I got one final thought for you kids from Matthew 24. We looked at the scripture already, but I just wanted to underline one little word that shows up two times in that passage. My purpose of underlining those two words is for you to have your encouragement fully, firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is doing. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end, it will come. I underline that word will because it means it will be done. He will come again. And when God says it will be done, he backs it with all of his omnipotent power to verify and assure that it's going to happen. He said it, he's going to do it. Keep Christ as Lord in your hearts, church. I pray that he would invigorate you today to live for his glorious purposes right until the end. Church, would you pray with me? We're just going to worship and acknowledge the Lord and his word. Lord Jesus,